In this episode of Let's Get Frank, it's Irish Frank. When he was confirmed, he chose a second middle name and chose his godfather's name, Frank. So he is David Frank Connor Bolin. He's a comedian and video producer and does a lot of sketch comedy on TikTok. He's also a musician and based on the East Coast of Ireland. He's lived in Canada, the US, Turkey, and the UK, but he loves to travel. He's 27, but he typically dates older women. Could he finally be the Frank that Bibi's been looking for?
Annabelle, Miss Annabelle Knight, I've missed you, our resident sex relationship dating coach, who's also a best-selling author and TV presenter with a range of sex toys. How have you been? Are you feeling healthier?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling healthy. The sun's shining. And I took a shopping delivery this morning with a bottle of really, really good value on offer champagne in that I'm going to crack open the second hand goes into the PM.
Do you're a fan of the champagne?
Yes, I can't lie. I really am. Anything fizzy with an ABV, and I'm apart from cider, and I'm in.
You actually ordered yourself champagne?
Yeah, it was on offer. It was too good to resist. I do it because I'm like, oh, I'm sure I'll have something to celebrate at some point. I'll keep it in the fridge for a special occasion. And then that special occasion ends up being a Wednesday.
It's a day with a Y in it. Why not?
Exactly.
Oh, well, bless you. Bless you. Do Instagram it. I'd love to see you drinking. Do you use the little Marie Antoinette booby glasses?
Do you know, champagne saucers? Yes, I do, because I like them and they were on offer in Wilco's. So I bought, again, on offer. Yeah. I love a bargain. I bought six of them.
What a snapshot into your 99p.
Don't
drink out of those. They'll shatter in your mouth.
No, they're really sturdy. I'm very clumsy. So I have to have like cheap glassware. But that doesn't mean it can't look nice.
So I had an interesting chat with my friend Deira. I thought this was so interesting because I was saying to her, she loves the pod and she loves you. And she was saying, you know, all your advice is so great. And I said, well, what would you want to know? And she said about types. And she said she doesn't have a type. And she said, that's a problem. So she said it's kind of a minefield because she's kind of got everyone to choose from and she doesn't know what she should be honing in on. And I would have thought not having a type would be kind of freeing because, you know, the world's your WhatsApp. But I think she's kind of saying if you don't have that basic attraction drawing you in, what should you be looking for? Is there anything you can say about types?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we split types into two categories, the aesthetics and then the kind of deeper type, the personality bonds, your love languages, that sort of thing. So if you're there saying like, I don't have a type in either category, yes, it's freeing because, you know, everyone's a potential partner. With that freedom comes some restrictions, which is, well, if your choice is everyone, you run the risk of becoming so overwhelmed by that you choose no one because you don't have that instant kind of, oh, that's my type. That's you. And you're like, I don't have a type. The things I would hone in on are and this is going to sound really boring and very unromantic, but the things I would concentrate on are the nitty gritty day to day. So are they self-sufficient? Can they support themselves? Do they have things going on for them that you value in your own life? So say if you are close to your family and you would like someone who is also close to theirs, do they tick that box? There's a way you can create your own type without it being something that you naturally find. And it is sort of a fake it till you make it kind of situation. So yeah, definitely look a little bit deeper than skin deep and then deeper still than the personality stuff and go for what do I want from my partner in a day-to-day kind of scenario? And can this person give me that?
That sounds so dry.
It does, I know. But what else have you got to go with? If you're like dismissing physical appearance and then dismissing their personality and who they are, that's what you're left with.
Where do types come from? Is it like your first love or, I'm going to say it, your dad?
I believe types are generated through lots of different things, and it is definitely to do with your upbringing and your early experiences, especially those that happen to you before you go through puberty. They're the experiences that tend to stick with us. if you like a tall, dark and handsome man, it's probably because a tall, dark and handsome man was very kind to you or had an impact on your life when you were younger. And that's something that you find safety and security in. And safety and security often breeds attraction when we go through puberty. So that's kind of where types come from.
So does that mean if you had a crush on Donny Osmond forevermore, you're looking for your Donny?
Yeah.
Do you know who Donny Osmond is?
Of course I know who Donny Osmond is. Okay. No, I know who he is because he got a tick in his tummy on I'm a Celebrity and he was just the cutest thing. He didn't know what to do with this tick and it was kind of strangely sweet.
Okay. Okay.
It's true. Look it up on YouTube.
No, you look it up. don't tarnish my history with Donny's tick. Let me tell you about today's Frank. Well, talking of kind of crushes and stuff, he's 27 and he typically dates older women, which of course is good news for me because I'm a little bit older than 27. Is this mummy issues?
So it could be that this is a kind of a light shining on that person's level of maturity, that they are a little bit more mature, either emotionally advanced or just more mature in general than their peers. So dating someone in the same age bracket just doesn't do it for them. So they found that by casting their net wider and maybe moving up an age bracket, they're meeting people that are perhaps on a more similar wavelength that they are on. So I would say if someone is quite fixed on dating an older person, it's actually a positive reflection on themselves. Maybe they've got their life together in a really, like, you know, they're just ahead of the game when it comes to where they are in their life, and they want someone in the same boat as them, and that means someone a little bit older. And also, older women are fabulous. Why wouldn't he want to date one?
Yes. Conversely, what does it say about someone if they want to date someone younger all the time?
Oh, well, I have some great anecdotal evidence about what it says about people who date younger people, but we won't go anecdotal evidence. We'll just keep general, factual. Again, the same thing, but inverted. So it might be that you feel a lot younger or your outlook is less mature than other people your same age, the same age as you, and dating someone the same age as you just doesn't work. So you kind of look downhill towards the younger generation because you feel you fit in more with that kind of lifestyle and approach to life. The only kind of issue you might have with that is it tends to be one demographic fits into the older category, like we've had with a few men we've dated in the Frank podcast. You know, oh, I'm 48 or whatever, but I like dating women with a upper limit of 30. And it's kind of stuck in that world where they believe they're a lot younger than they are. And it's reality hasn't quite caught up yet.
You're so polite. also, this Frank connects with people online a lot. So I guess it means meet people online and conducts relationships online. And, you know, and that's, you know, sign of the times. That's fine. It's okay. But of course, that has its own dangers. How do you think you spot an online player? Are there signs?
Yeah, absolutely. If you can log on to any app at any time of the day and they are active, that tells me that they spend an awful lot of time on their phone and interacting in an online way. It could be, I'm not saying this person is this, it's just that these are things to look out for. It could be that online relationships are very easy to get rid of. You know, you log out, you turn your phone off, you block that person. They're not necessarily indicative of a deep connection where someone is committed to that person and respectful of that person. I think online dating and the presence of that is an absolutely amazing thing. It's the reason why so many people have met and fallen in love and are living their lives together, but it's also not something that doesn't have its pitfalls. And we should be aware of that. So an online player, they're going to be online all the time, contactable all the time. And you may feel there's a lot to be said for kind of gut feeling. I briefly online dated a guy and I felt like his messages were really generic. And then my flatmate was on a dating website and she was like, "Is this the guy you're dating?" And I was like, "Yes, it is." Immediately I was like, right, okay. So bit of a player. Well, I mean, we're official, so kind of fine. So she messaged him. The message was pretty much word for word copy and pasted. So yeah, if you feel like the messages are a little generic, it's probably a sign they're going out to more than one person.
It's so hard, isn't it? Because I guess that's how so many relationships start now, especially like during, you know, Rona and everything. So I don't know, I feel that there's a cruelty to some online dating kind of ways, and we're still hardwired to react emotionally. And I just feel like there's a bluntness, isn't there? And there's a real ruthlessness just feels really
absolutely
cruel. Yeah,
there's ways you can safeguard yourself against it. And one of them is to choose a dating site that is tailored to, you know, what you're looking for. You know, the big dating apps that everyone knows the name of, known kind of largely for being more in the hookup vicinity than the long-lasting relationships. But there's definitely dating sites out there that are more tailored towards finding, you know, a serious relationship. And the people on there are actively looking for a partner and not just, like, what's the saying? They're looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right, not Mr. or Mrs. Right Now.
Who came up with that?
I don't know, but I like it.
Yeah, I'd be proud of it, I think. So something else about today's Frank. He's a yoga and meditation teacher. I don't have time for 7-hour sex. not with this back.
I don't know. If you got into the yoga side of things, it might heal itself. It's indicative of someone who is self-aware, who takes their mental health seriously and their physical health as well. So they're big ticks for me, I think.
Well, I'll pass your number on then. Don't tell Matt.
Don't tell Matt.
I need the pep talk. Give me the pep talk, Toots. Help me get that elusive. You know, I still haven't had a second date, you know. We're two thirds through, Frank.
We're working on it. It's an ongoing journey and one that we are lucky to be on.
We really are. Go on then, help me.
Pep talk. Are you ready? You sat down? Are you deep breathing?
I'm writing. Okay. I'm all those things.
So, BB, it's date time. It is time for you to take a deep breath, to stand in your truth, remember who you are, and know that you are valuable, you are worthy of love, and whoever this Frank is, whatever he may be, he is lucky to be spending time with you.
Yeah, I'm gonna open with that. Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Oh, God, you're so handsome. It's not fair dating handsome people. Bloody hell. I'm all right. Where are you?
I'm in Ireland, in a place called County Wicklow, in a town called Greystones. So it's a seaside town on the East Coast. And it's pretty, I don't know, it's pretty hippy-dippy. I mean, as far as Ireland goes, like I don't really feel that we're a very hippie nation, but this area, people love drinking oat lattes and kombucha and going swimming in the sea and stuff like that.
How long have you been there for?
Well, I've actually been here my whole life. I mean, I was born and raised in this area. I mean, I've not been here the whole time, but I came back here about a year ago from overseas. So, yeah, I've been here about a year and I'm not sure how much longer I'll be here, but...
Oh, no, why?
I do, but I suppose like the nature of what I'm kind of aiming to do in the world, a lot of it's like based around creativity and art, which kind of just goes hand in hand with travel. So yeah, I'm always open to the possibility that I will be going somewhere else. I just don't know where it is yet, but it's probably going to happen. And what about you?
I love that. I'm in Hove, which is near Brighton on the south coast, and I love it. And it's a seaside town, of course, and it's gorgeous. But I'm from London and I miss London. I dreamt about London last night. I know it's tedious to talk about my dreams, but I love my dreams. They're fascinating. And yeah, I keep dreaming about London. So I'm wondering if that's where I'm going back to. So you have been around. So you've been to Canada. You've lived in Canada. You've lived in America.
Yeah. And then I lived in Turkey for a little while, kind of by accident, because that was in 2020. I was kind of just traveling. But then I ended up spending like 6 months there in a house, and that was pretty rad, like pretty different to our culture over here altogether.
Yeah. So were you dating when you were out there?
Kind of. At the time when I was there, I was going through a process, I'll call it, from a previous So when I was in Canada, I had met someone there and had a relationship there, and then I left that, and then it took a while for all of the emotions and whatnot to bubble up out of that. So a big part of my trip in Turkey was like processing that. So I'd wake up every morning and be like, I can't do this anymore. I can't live. It's too sore. My heart. It moved through eventually, and like I had a lot of support from great people that I was with at the time in the house that I was with. And then I did actually end up meeting a woman there as well. And we went on some dates and whatnot. But I kind of had this tendency to continue moving. So I always leave whatever I had.
What's that saying about you, that you move all the time?
I'm afraid to commit to things. Like, I'm afraid of missing out, basically, is what I kind of realized. which is why I decided to like stay here. I was like, I'm done. I'm done moving around. It's not sustainable, because I always end up like, it's when you move, or when anything changes in your life, be it like a relationship or be it a home that you're living in, there's like a necessary period of grief that comes with that. Especially when you're traveling, it's like you experience that like every week, because you're in a different place every week. And it's so overwhelming on your nervous system to go through that on such a regular basis. I mean, my life is a bit more boring at the minute, but it's, you know, that's kind of good, because it means I don't get overwhelmed with as many emotions and feelings.
Is that why you took up yoga and meditation, kind of tackle that kind of stuff?
No, it was kind of weird. The reason I took up yoga was because I was in Canada at the time, and I was at a folk festival volunteering, selling raffle tickets. So super chill, hippie vibe. But the girl that I was partnered up with, she was like, we'd be walking around selling tickets. She seemed to know like so many people, like she had met them before. And I was like, why are all these people coming up to you? Like, how do you know so many people? And she was like, yoga, dude. And I was like, okay. So that's how I ended up going to my first yoga class, is because I was like, I need to get me some of this social life. And then I actually just really enjoyed the class. Like, the first class I ever did was like a really intense like power vinyasa. So it was like super sweaty. And the guy that was like guiding the class was like really like big and muscular and like covered head to toe in tattoos, and like he was pretty badass. But at the end, I just felt really, really good just lying there. I was like, wow, this is something I've never felt before. Yeah, so kind of, you know, that happened about 6 years ago 6 7 years ago, and I kind of just continue doing it since. That's my background on getting into that type of stuff.
I want to do yoga. I want to do Pilates, I think. So yoga's more weight bearing, isn't it? So my problem with yoga is I'm going to tell you my ailments now. So I've got a shoulder that dislocates and a broken elbow. Last time I did yoga, and I remember saying to the teacher, she said, has anyone got any issues? And I said, well, I've got loads of issues, but physically I've got this, my shoulder. And then we did exercise and it came out. So I can't do yoga.
Mm.
Should I have strapped it up?
I mean, I wouldn't be one to give you advice on what to do with your body in that sense. But yeah, you're correct in saying it is weight bearing. I've done a little bit of Pilates, which I feel is, I don't know, say like there's no downward dog in Pilates, and that's usually the one that's the one that gets everybody. But a good one is Qigong. Have you ever done that before? So Qigong is like another Eastern practice, and the whole point is you're moving the qi around your body. You kind of do it all standing up. It's not weight bearing at all. Like if you look at someone doing it, you'd be like, that's not doing anything. But if you actually do it yourself, like, you feel like that you're like shifting your energy around. So that's a good way to ground.
How do you shift it?
Well, just mentally. By doing, well, certain movements, they say, result in, you know, activation of different parts of the body. Like if you do one thing with your hands, it somehow stimulates your liver. I don't know. Like it's very woo-woo, I suppose you could say, but it's like ancient. Like these are ancient techniques that like Buddhist monks have been doing, you know, in the monasteries for all of this time. But yeah, like if you search it up on YouTube, like you'll find a little monk person guiding you through.
Who could ask for more?
Yeah, it's really cute. I used to do it in my living room. I'd put it on the TV and I'd do it. And my friend would come in, or my housemate would come in, and I'd tell him that the person on the TV was actually my student, and that I was teaching him.
Did your flatmate fall for it?
Well, I mean, he pretended to, but we kind of do like stupid stuff like that. It was kind of cute. And then like a week later, he came in again. He was like, oh, there's your student again. He's doing well today.
He's doing very well. He's picked it up beautifully. Well, I quite like the idea of this. Right, I'm going to Google everything. Have you been dating much through the whole COVID thing?
I haven't been on a date since, I guess, like April last year. So basically a year. Not exactly by design, if I'm honest. Like, I don't know, like the last person that I was like romantic with, she had actually just reached out to me online asking about, because she was not from here and she just moved here and she was looking for some like people that were into, you know, mindfulness and stuff like that. And we ended up just meeting up, and then that kind of turned into something. But like that was a complete accident and I didn't do anything to make it happen. I find whenever I try, like nothing comes of it. Like for example, because like I was like, I gave like the dating apps and stuff a shot there like a few months ago, for like a couple of months, and like I don't know, it's just for whatever reason, I just don't match with anyone. The ones that I do match with, I'm like, wait, did I like you? I don't remember, you know. So my philosophy with dating is like to kind of let it come to me more so, and then respond to any, you know, potential, I don't know, advances or whatever. Because when I get all in my head and start like, I'm going to date you, nothing good comes of it. So,
nothing good.
Well, I mean, it's just like nothing, not even anything bad, just nothing comes of it. It's just like, oh, okay, that's over then. Like after, hey, I'm David, it's like, okay, cool.
Oh, it's, you know? So painful. Hey, why is your middle name Frank? I love this.
Yeah, well, so I don't know, do you have confirmation in, like communion and confirmation in England?
So I'm half Irish, so mine is Bernadette. So I'm BB Bernadette.
But do you have two names in there?
No, so I know what you mean. So I was christened that, but I guess what you say, so you can choose one, can't you?
Yeah, like you just pick whatever. But but my parents were always, I don't know, they were very influential on the decisions that I made with regards to those kinds of things. And they're like, oh, it has to be like people pick their godfather or whatever, like someone that inspires them. So, but that's the name of my uncle and godfather. So I was like, right, so I'll do that then. He'll like that, won't he? And then like, and then like when you're there in the church, like he has his like hand on your shoulder and stuff like that. And it's a ceremony, I suppose. So that's how it came about. In hindsight, like a lot of people were picking like different names, like, you know, kind of out there names. And I was kind of like, oh, mine's quite traditional sounding, isn't it?
Oh, Frank's a great name. I love the name Frank. So? Yeah, I think so. Was your godfather thrilled?
I don't know. He didn't he wasn't he's not the most emotional man. Like, yeah, he's a rural farmer. Like his career was selling animal feed.
Frank the feeder. But it's cute. Oh God, you'd be like, that's such a compliment. He loved it secretly, deep down.
Yeah, I suppose it is so beautiful. Cute. It's beautiful to hear that someone has like thought of you enough to, you know, do that. Like that, yeah, it's pretty profound. Yeah.
Forever that you're with him. But where do you stand on marriage? Because I'm going to marry my Frank.
Yeah, I'm open to marriage. In terms of what it like represents for the couple. Like, wait, I don't know. Do you mean marriage as in like, you see, when I hear marriage, I get kind of like I don't feel like I'd want to get married in a church. Like I wouldn't want the religious connotation to it. But in terms of actually being with someone, like, you know, committing to someone, you know, ideally forever, like, yeah.
Yeah. It's the committing thing, I mean. Yeah.
That is something that I'd like, because I don't know, like if you're And I do, like, so if you're committing to someone, right? I don't really believe that we can fully, like, 100% commit to someone and, like, follow through with that, because there could come a point where it's just like, well, this happened or that happened, and it's like, it just doesn't make sense anymore. I more like the idea is like of really like committing to be with someone, or like, I don't know, like not planning to not be with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That should be one of your vows. Definitely got it in mind to be with you. I'm making no plans without you.
I'll be with you until I don't want to be with you.
Yes, take it. Oh, God, marriage, it'd be so weird. Yeah, I wouldn't want to get married in a church, I don't think. Where would you get married?
Well, probably somewhere in nature, like probably in a forest. Or I don't know, maybe like, I like the idea of like beach. I went to a wedding on a beach one time, but it wasn't like in Hawaii. Like it wasn't a very nice beach. Like the beach just happened to be the back garden. the beach just happened to be the back garden. But I guess like nature would be important. And the more like rustic, the better. So like if we were all just like camping or something, like, cause I love camping. And
now why would you ruin today's date by saying that? Why did you do that?
I didn't know it was going to ruin it.
What could you possibly enjoy about camping?
I like being disconnected from the urban environment. I love being handy, just, you know, putting together a fire, fetching water from the nearby water source, and you know, it's a very primal thing. So yeah, I find it very grounding. Like it really helps me to reset, because I spend a lot of time on the internet, on social media, doing what I do, and it's like, it fucking wrecks my head.
I know,
because there's so much chaos and so much negativity on there, and it's like sometimes you just need like 48 hours to just reset. It's kind of like, I don't know, resetting your computer.
Oh my God, you're totally right. So even this morning, I love Twitter and I'm on Twitter and I'm scrolling, the doom scrolling. I'm like, this, I can actually feel anxiety building. I can actually feel it physically fucking with me, because it's just not good for you, especially when you feel impotent around stuff, you know, government stuff that's happening. You just feel like there's nothing I can do about this. And you don't want to not know, because then you feel complicit. Mm. You know, you need to know. But there is a level you've got to pull back, I think, and just kind of say, this is doing me a lot of harm.
Yeah.
Still doesn't mean I'm going camping with you.
Look, that's fine. Okay, here, I wasn't camping 2 weeks ago, but this is interesting. It's not about camping as such. It's more about disconnecting. So
yeah,
a few weeks ago, I was at a sort of retreat in the mountains, but it was in a house. Like it was in a big retreat center and there wasn't any signal. So there's no internet or anything like that. I was up there for 4 days. Prior to going there, you know, I had been doing a lot of what you just said there, like, you know, doom scrolling, particularly political things were really upsetting me. And every time I would check, I knew it was a terrible idea for me to look, and it wasn't helpful. I would do it anyway, because like in a way I'm addicted to that chaos, because sometimes when you're all peaceful, it's like, oh, this is kind of boring. Let's go find out some bad news. But anyway, being away from that for 4 days, when I came back, I never relapsed. So, you know, that was about 3 weeks ago, and I haven't actually looked at anything really relating to world affairs. And yeah, I didn't have to go camping for that. I just had to go offline, basically. Yeah. And it's a lot easier to go offline when there's no signal, basically.
Yeah.
So
how did you feel when you were, did you get withdrawal when you were not looking for 4 days?
Well, the thing is now, the center that I was at, there was 14 of us there, and we're all very heart-centered people, and we were consciously relating, like platonically. Like that was the whole premise of the process, was that we were like consciously communicating with one another. Really fills up your heart. Like you're just filled with joy. No, I didn't miss anything, because I was feeling so content, you know, in that, like in those days, I was just feeling so content without thinking about what I needed to do, or, you know, what's happening here, what's happening there. Yeah. Coming back from that and then coming back to my apartment, you know, and like, I live in a pretty chill place anyway, but even just you know, seeing like shops and stuff like this and petrol stations and all that, it's just a little bit, it's very stimulating when all you've seen is trees and a stream for 4 days. So I was living in like a big metropolitan city in Canada, and then I moved to this island where there's no signal, basically. And we're just like working on the farm, like, you know. And then to go from there back to the city, like you get off the boat and like you get on the bus and you just, there's so much shit happening. Like, and ironically, the one thing that's not happening is connection between other humans, because everyone's got their AirPods in, they're on their phone, like they're looking down at their screen, like no one's talking to each other. It's bizarre, because before that, I was in an environment where people only spoke face to face for the most part. You know, there was like nice connections, like really deep, meaningful connections happening. Yeah, like the point being that I feel like that's what, you know, disconnecting, you know, be it going camping or just going into a retreat center, you know, where you can still have your bed and have your shower and a hot tub and whatever. It's the same thing. But I guess doing it by yourself would be challenging. It's more challenging. I have done stuff by myself.
It's so amazing talking to you. I feel really inspired by all of this. I want to do like a culture shock retreat that gets me out of this. And also, I'm really aware that I'm feeling really mellow talking to you because you've got that beautiful voice. It will not surprise you that I've been in a lot of therapy in my life. And I remember one therapist once, I remember saying to her, I try this and I try this and da, da, da. And she said, what would happen if you didn't try? I thought, God, that was so profound. I never had the courage to not try. But isn't that brilliant? What would happen if you didn't try and just see what happens, see what comes to you?
Yeah, like it's a really good thing to ponder and, you know, even better to put into practice. And as you say, it is really difficult to not try, because then your mind starts saying, well, if I don't try, then I'm not going to achieve these things that I think I need to achieve or that I want to achieve or whatever. I wouldn't say I've completely ever not tried, because I am afraid to not try, like to totally just give up. Because then it's like, the question is like, okay, where is the line between being lazy and like lethargic, you know, not trying? So a big part of it, I think, is it depends on like your mental state. So like, if you cannot try and feel okay about that, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But if you're not trying and at the same time your head saying you're lazy, you should be doing this, there's clearly like you're not in alignment. Like your actions and your like whatever your mind, your thought and mind aren't, they're not in alignment with your actions. So there's a bit of a disconnect there. Something I like to do is like, I think about something in my life, like something that is in my life that I really like, or something that happened in my life that I really like. If I take yoga, for example, and like where yoga has taken me, and like basically the last like 7 years of my life have been very much influenced by one thing that happened, you know, 7 years ago. And the one thing that happened was, I decided to volunteer at a music festival. And when I decided to go there, I met this girl who showed me yoga. And then from there, I started doing yoga, moved to this yoga center for 4 months where I had beautiful, beautiful relationships. I learned a lot. Then I went on to teach yoga and meditation. And that took me on a journey. And then I went traveling again. And then, you know, ultimately that brought me to Turkey. And then I met this guy called Arkis, who, you know, introduced me to a bunch of other people, which is how I met Nico. And now Nico is a very dear friend of mine from Argentina. And this, all of these things happened because I decided to go to the folk festival. And when you realize that, like, I could have just as easily decided to not do that, my entire life would be completely different. All of the relationships that I had would be completely different. And I don't know what they would have been otherwise. And I don't think it matters, because I could never know. When you realize that, it kind of reminds you that now each and every little decision that you make is incredibly valuable, even if right now it doesn't seem valuable. Because the thing is, you don't know, like 10 years down the line, that one decision influenced what went on.
Oh my God, I love all this. I haven't written any of this down, but luckily it's being recorded. I love all this. Oh my God. It's been so nice to meet you. It's been so lovely chatting with you. Thank you for doing this. Why did you do this? Why did you agree to do it?
I like doing weird things. Take care of yourself. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
How lovely was Frank?
I feel like I have been to a spa. Like, I feel relaxed, rejuvenated, regenerized, re-energized.
I feel exactly. Yeah, I loved
him. He was great.
Exactly the same. I'm going to say the most patronizing thing I've ever said in my life. How can someone be that wise at 27?
So he was the type of person I was talking about earlier about, you know, he's an old soul. He's mature and considerate and self-aware, like tick, tick, tick. And he's handsome.
Great. I really wanted to.
I actually took a photo. You won't have seen it yet. I just sent it to you and on WhatsApp. But there was a moment, like, you both smiled so much in that date. And you were having a giggle about, I can't remember what you were laughing about, but you're having a good laugh. And I took a photo of it just to show you how you light up someone's like energy. Because you probably don't really concentrate too much on that other person when you're dating, because you're, you know, in the moment and you're on the date. So I thought, you know, I'm going to snap a picture, send it over to you and say, look, this is the effect you have on people.
Thank you. That's so sweet. I'll have a little look. What's the effect he has? I just loved him. His energy was amazing. And what he was saying, I thought was correct and kind. And I don't even know why I just said kind, because I hate it when people say be kind. That thing, that because it just feels so...
In a world where you can be anything, it says absolutely be kind. Nothing. No thanks.
It says nothing. But there was just, I don't know, I just loved him. I loved his energy and I loved what he had to say about everything.
Yeah, he had a great vibe, great aura. But the thing is, he was kind. Like, he was kind to himself, which was so refreshing. And that, like, I loved the conversation as well, because it wasn't a back and forth of questions. It was a conversation. It was kind of what communication should be for a lot of people. You know, it's not question answer for the majority of the time, and that was so easy and so natural. And I think he put you at ease and you were great as well. So all in all,
yeah, what were your three main points of analysis then?
Do you know, this is a really weird one, because I didn't have any. It was more, I felt like I was actually watching either good friends or people that knew each other well. It didn't feel like a date. So I didn't have like kind of points of analysis for it, other than it was very natural and very easy. You had a great chemistry vibe between you, you know. There was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of fun, and it was relaxed but purposeful. And I felt the purpose of that was to, like, not to have a therapy session in a date, but it felt very clean.
That's never been said to me before.
But that's what it felt like.
Yeah, I really I wanted to talk to him a little bit about the older woman thing, and then I thought, actually, no, that would take this somewhere forced. And actually, why am I asking? Because that wasn't necessary.
No, I completely agree. And I think that was a good decision on your part. And it was a couple of francs ago we spoke about giving yourself a beat, not just letting the first thing you want to say come out of your mouth, just giving yourself a beat and deciding whether or not it's right in the moment. And that, I completely agree. I think that would have falsely or coerced the conversation down a different path. And as it stood, you actually just let it evolve very naturally and very organically, and because of that, you
can
got
you
really
believe
good
that
date
he tries to make me go camping?
What an ass!
Piece
what
of
a
work.
Perfect ass! No, I think, you know. So I am in your boat. I hate camping, and Matt really likes it, and he made me go. He expressed how much it would mean to him if we went camping together. So I decided to give it a go. And I didn't hate it. And quite a lot of what he was saying, like the disconnect from the kind of regular, the stress of life that we just take as like, oh yeah, that's just part of life. It doesn't have to be. When you do things like going camping or like just being in nature for a bit, it gives you a little reset, a little pause. And it can be just what you need to get back to the real world, in inverted commas.
I also did good in not suggesting that he start some kind of chat line with that voice.
Oh my goodness, his accent though,
I mean,
dreamy,
it's ridiculous.
Absolutely dreamy, and the way he speaks, it was lovely. Like you say chat line, I want him to narrate children's stories. Like, you know, when they get the handsome actors like Tom Hardy to read children's bedtime stories on CBeebies. I want him
to.
You're
revealing quite a lot about yourself today, Annabelle Knight. Not all of it.
I know,
not all of it.
I love children's books and camping.
Okay, and I know this isn't professionally what you do, and I know this is beneath you. It's beneath me. It's beneath Frank. It's beneath everyone. It's beneath this podcast. It's beneath all of us. But I am going to ask you about my overall grade. What's my percentage chance of Frank dating me again, do you think?
I think Frank would definitely date you again. He was, we say it a lot, but he was interested and interesting. I don't know whether I saw a kind of a sexual spark from either of you. I don't know whether that was just because the conversation was so, you got quite deep quite quickly. And I think it kind of absorbed quite a lot of your energy. So, but there was definitely like a flirty vibe. There was a lot of smiling, a lot of eye contact as well. So I think he would definitely want to see you again, but where it's going to go, that's still a bit of a mystery to me. Hold on, let me rephrase that. Absolutely not. You're gorgeous.
Thank you. Thanks, mate. Well, that was what I'm going to imaginatively call Mellow Frank. loved him. Thank you so much to our brilliant dating coach, the fabulous Annabelle Knight. Huge thank you to today's wonderful Frank. And thank you for listening. Please rate, subscribe, follow, and leave us a review to help other people find us. Keep listening and join me next time in my enlightening / traumatizing quest to find my Frank. See you then.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the conversation, and I would definitely consider another conversation. It's not clear to me the nature of, you know, whether that conversation would be like a date conversation or just a friend conversation. But I love mingling and chatting with people with different backgrounds, and I would like to learn more about like Bibi's work, and because I know there's a lot of crossover for the two of us and the kind of work that we do. So yeah, I would totally like to chat again at some point.